Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Proverbs 15, 22. Without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Proverbs 24, verse 6. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. See a theme there? A multitude of counselors. I'm going to tell you that it's not hard to find a multitude of counselors in today's society, is it? You know, we've all got decisions that we have to make every day. We have dozens and dozens and dozens of decisions, and from where we're going to go today to what we're going to eat to who we're going to talk to whether or not we're going to take a job offer to whether or not we should continue a relationship to just a multitude of things. We have to make dozens and dozens and dozens of decisions every day. And the counsel of the Bible is that we make better decisions when we have a multitude of counselors. So what's proliferated today in our media and in our society is everybody wants to give you counsel. Everybody wants to give you advice. Get online, you'll find 87 blogs about whether or not to, whether to get a Yorkie or a Shih Tzu. You know, any topic that you want to find, you'll find a lot of people wanting to give you advice. Matter of fact, we've created a new thing, you know, this social influencer that apparently is a job now. It's something you can make money at. You can offer your opinion, whether or not your opinion has any basis or foundation, whether you have any knowledge of the subject. You can pronounce your judgment online, and people will listen to you. That sounds like a dangerous thing to me. Oh, we can find all sorts of counselors. We can get on the talk shows on television or on the radio or on satellite. We can listen to those folks. We can take our choice of news networks that we want to listen to and find any position on the face of the earth about any topic. We can listen to what Hollywood has to say. We can listen to what professional athletes have to say. We can listen to what the man on the street has to say. We can go to church and we can get 87 different opinions from 87 different people in the pews. Might even get one from the preacher. We can get lots of advice from everywhere. And according to the Bible, it says a multitude of counselors is a good thing. But you see, there's a presupposition in the biblical text where it talks about counselors and having a lot of counselors is that they are biblically founded counselors. That they are people who have a foundation in a relationship with God. They're people who have a basis of knowledge of the truth of Scripture. And what we can find today is we can find lots and lots of opinions from the media, to the news networks, to the man on the street, to the man in the pews. We can find a lot of opinions, and not all of them are godly. Not all of them are founded on the truth of Scripture. Not all of them are founded on the character and nature of Almighty God. Not all of them have Jesus Christ at their center. And those are dangerous, dangerous, dangerous counselors. The ones out there that we can listen to that do not have a godly foundation, the ones that will tell you, follow your heart, do whatever seems right on the inside, because I tell you, does the Bible not say that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is condemnation and destruction? You know, the natural man operates on an animalistic instinct. The natural man operates on wanting to be satisfied physically, emotionally, and in whatever way. The natural human being is out for number one. They're out to enrich themselves. They're out to empower themselves. They're out to exert domination over other people. They are out for themselves. And we can get lots and lots of opinions. And by the way, whoever's selling you their opinion, they're less interested in your well-being than they are in your checkbook. I'll give you my opinion on how to have a better life. Just send me $19.95. Yeah, I said that in my out loud voice. Oh, by the way, that's a subscription. We're going to bill your credit card every month. So, yeah. By now, you get a free bonus for just another shipping charge. Sadly, that's true in the church world, too. You know, obviously, ministries, when they offer their teachings, they need to cover their cost. But, you know, people that get grossly enriched selling their opinion, I've got to think twice about their opinion. But you see, we have so many choices and we need solid advice. And there is so much advice out there. How do we weed it out? How do we figure out who to listen to and who not to listen to? You know, we don't even have to sometimes go and solicit advisors. We have people that come to us cold turkey to offer us advice, whether we want it or need it or not. They really don't care. Some of them are familiar to us. Some just barge in uninvited. Some we may know by their reputation, but we don't know them personally. Who do we believe? Who do we trust? How do we choose? Is there anybody we can or should trust? Well, it's a pretty easy equation to figure out who you can and should trust. Let's take it out of the spiritual realm for just a second and just take it into the practical realm. If we're choosing someone to advise us on a particular subject, what factors do we consider? We might think about their reputation. Okay, what do other people say about them? Has their advice seemed to go well with other people? Are they well informed? Are they an expert? Do they have a familiarity with the subject matter that they're going to advise you on? What about their knowledge and experience? You know, would you take business advice from someone who has never been in business or someone who has been in business through the ups and downs of many years of being in the business world? Well, here's a good one. Does whatever position they take support what we really want to do? Now, there's a lot of us that will seek out advisors who will tell us that what we want to do is what we ought to do. And that's not always the right thing. Back to the scripture, there's a way that seemeth right to a man. Right? So, we first have to recognize that our own desire is not necessarily a proper indicator of what is correct. Thus the human condition. Is whatever we're trying to decide to do or not to do, is it in our comfort zone? Is it something we want to do? Is it something we can feel comfortable doing? Will it enrich us in any kind of a way? Well, what about other people's opinion? Is it popular? Does it go with the flow of what society is doing or what our little circle of society is doing? Does it feel right? Does it feel good to us to do it? All of those are factors that every human being considers when they make decisions, right? Whether you're saved or lost, whether you've been raised in a church atmosphere or whether you've been raised in the gutter, doesn't matter. Every human being considers all those things when they seek out advisors and when they make decisions. And that's the human condition. But you see, for the people who are the people of God, the people who have been born again, the people who have the Spirit of God living on the inside, there's another factor that's got to be considered. Is it good? Is it right? Is it holy? Is it godly? And that is not the last factor on the list. That ought to be the first factor on the list. There are a lot of things that we want to do that need to be culled at first thought on the very basis of it is not good, right, holy, and godly. So, if we who are the people of God are trying to figure out how to make decisions and who to listen to counsel us, because the Bible does say we should have many counselors, but what it really should say is we should have many godly counselors. We should have people that have knowledge and experience and insight, not only in the particular subject matter, but in knowing the Word of God, and in knowing the truth of God, and in knowing how to apply the truth of God. We need godly counselors. We need people who are experienced. You know, one of the reasons, Christian, that you have lived through so many bumps in the road is, first of all, you took the wrong advice, or you took your own advice, but that's part of the picture. But we live by life experience, and God teaches us through every right choice and every wrong choice. And we learned. I look around this room, and physically and emotionally and experientially, everybody in this room that I know of has some kind of scars. And those scars have made us who we are today. And every one of those scars is important because it was an opportunity to learn about consequences, to learn about what happens if you do right, what happens if you do wrong, what happens if you make good decisions, what happens if you make bad decisions, what happens if you make decisions based on the truth of Scripture, and what happens if you make decisions based on your own gut or your own lust or your own desire. We've all got those scars. And the fact that we have been brought through them by an almighty God who loves us gives us a level of experience to speak to other people who are struggling. God uses broken and healed and healing people to reach out to other broken people who need to be healed. The scars that you bear give you a measure of authority to address other people who may be having similar scars. And if you are a godly person, if you are someone who has immersed yourself in Scripture, who knows intimately the voice of the Holy Spirit to quicken your discernment, when you add those empowerments to your experience of how God has brought you through sometimes hell on earth, then you have a position of information that you can share to someone who desperately needs it. You see, we help each other. We're not just out there on our own. The worst thing in the world as a human being is to feel like you're all alone. I have no one who understands me. I have no one who cares about me. I have no one who would bat an eye if I lived or died today. If you feel like that, you are the most lonely creature in the universe. Especially if you add to it, you don't know if there really is a God, and if there is one, if He cares. And people all around us, people in the community around us, people sitting in church pews today, feel that way. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody cares. If I didn't show up to church for 6 months, nobody'd ask where I was. Nobody cares about me. If there is a God, He has packed up His bags and went to the coast. I think that was a song, wasn't it? You see, there is one advisor who is always right and always true and always holy and always godly, and that is God Himself. And He speaks to us in a number of ways. He speaks to us through His written Word. But you see, you've got to get in that written Word to give Him the opportunity to speak it to you. You can't It doesn't work by osmosis. You can't put the Bible under your pillow and assume that it's going to soak into you. It doesn't work. You've got to open the pages and you've got to read it. You've got to listen to it read. You've got to immerse yourself in it. If you think you know who God is, but you haven't immersed yourself in the truth of His Word, you could be mistaken in your impression of who God is. It's in the Word. It's in the truth. We get to see who He is. We get to see what He likes, what He dislikes. We get to see the advice that He's given to people. We get to see how He has, in some cases, removed people from troubles, and in other cases, walked through troubles with them. But you see, we've got to get in the written Word to do that. We've got to get into the spoken Word. We've got to get into the place where we sit under good, solid, biblically founded, godly teaching that tells us how we need to conduct our lives. That's not infringement. That's not control. That's not indoctrination. That's not brainwashing. That is simply a very practical way of sitting with people who have some experience with the things of God, sharing the things of God with each other. And it reinforces us. When we have questions, they can be answered. When we all get together and we really don't know the answer, we can go to the Lord in prayer together and beseech Him for direction. Prayer. We hear from God in prayer. Prayer is a two-way conversation. People say, well, I've never heard the audible voice of God. Have you listened for it? Or have you just let it pass you by? You see, when we pray, there is two-way communication. It may be an audible reply. It may not be. It may be a reply in the ear of your spirit. And if you know the Lord and if you have communed with His Holy Spirit living inside you, you'll recognize His Word. You'll recognize the voice of God leading you. And you'll be able to recognize the voice of the enemy trying to trip you up. We've got to get in prayer. God does work through the prophetic, through words of knowledge, through words of wisdom, through tongues and interpretations. God can speak directly to a situation in all of those ways as He sees fit. We don't control that. We don't manipulate people with it, but we allow God to speak. And discernment, which is a quality that comes with the Holy Spirit living in you, will tell you whether this is good and right and holy or not. But you see, we need to learn the voice of the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you do that? I sometimes am critical of some of the big ministries and the famous names and what have you. But there was a book that Benny Hinn wrote years ago, and it's called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And it talks about a journey of intentionally cultivating conversation with the Spirit of God who lives in you if you're a believer Christian. We need to make ourselves aware. There are things, you know, if you've got a new child in the house, aren't your senses immediately tuned to any sound that may be that child? You bring a new pet in the house, the same thing. You hear claws click on the floor and immediately you come out of a sound sleep to see what the dog's into. You develop a sensitivity and a familiarity to a particular sound. Oh, the baby's crying. I didn't hear it. Well, I did. Oh, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit. We cultivate that relationship because, you know, it's really nice to have the voice in your head that says, don't step forward, you might fall. Stop where you are. If you recognize the voice, you'll heed the voice. If you don't recognize the voice, you'll say, who said that while you're falling down the steps? We've got to cultivate that. And then there are the advisors that God sends. You know, you can be in a church service like this and have something that's troubling your heart and maybe it's prayer time and you just have this urge to go and let brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so pray with you. Do you think that's the devil? Or do you think that might be the Holy Spirit saying, I've got a word from you. You need to go let Bruce lay hands on you and pray for you. You need to go see Zita. Or then again, it might be the other way. You might be standing there in prayer and the Holy Spirit says to you, hey, Dwayne needs your prayers this morning. Go to him. Do we heed it? Do we listen to it? You see, this is the way that the church world is supposed to operate. If we each one are attuned to the voice of the Holy Spirit, then it's amazing what God can get done when God's people come together. So God can send you that advisor. He can send you to that advisor. But you see, only God has all knowledge and all experience and all insight. The most reliable advisor of all, the most reliable counselor of all, is God Almighty. And He is ready and willing to send those resources to you. And there's a multiple number of ways that He can do that. And we've just talked about some of them. But you see, God's faithful, God's true, and He's always right on the mark. Here's something we've got to think about and we've got to be prepared for. Understand this, that the right God-ordained and ultimately correct path may not be the comfortable, short-term, desired, pain-free choice. Did you hear what I just said? God may not lead you through the rose petals. He may lead you through the rose thorns. And there are reasons for it that we probably will never really truly understand. But the factor that I mentioned earlier that, you know, our scars give us, you know, some ability to relate those experiences to other people. If we never had any scars, we could never relate to those who were suffering. If you've never been in addiction or around people in addiction, you don't know how to talk to people who are in addiction. You can read every book in the world and it doesn't help you until you've been in the presence of someone who's been in that kind of bondage. When you find someone who is struggling with a relationship issue, the best person to talk to is someone who God has delivered through relationship issues. And we could go on to every vice known to mankind. There is probably someone in the church who has a familiarity with at least the concept of it, who's walked down that road, who God has delivered them out of, or who God is in the process of delivering them out of, and they have an ability to speak to it out of knowledge. Because, you know, you want to insult somebody, go tell them you know what they're going through when you've never had an experience anywhere close to it. You tell them you know what they're going through and they look at you and say, horse feathers. You're lying. You've never been where I've been. How can you possibly know how I feel? You're just another one of those false charlatans. How much better to say, you know, sis, I've never walked the path that you're walking. I've had some similar things happen in my life, but I know who has. Jesus has got the answer to this. Let's go to Him in prayer. Or I might refer you to Sister so-and-so who has been delivered from the very situation you're walking through. We network together. And the more transparent we are, the easier it is for that to happen. So how do we judge who to listen to? First of all, we need to figure out what the foundation is. Do they know God? Have they been born again? Are they someone who has got a foundation in Christian truth and biblical truth who knows the nature of God? Do they know that Scripture? Do they know that truth? Have they taken time to develop intimacy with the Holy Spirit so that their discernment is quickened? We're looking for godly advisors. We need people who are like that. Your human advisors that come to you, you need to vet them to know, are they real? Are they godly people? Do they know Christ? Are they putting an effort into walking with Him? Yeah, those are the kind of folks you listen to. You don't listen to every Tom, Dick, and Harry who gets a blog. You don't listen to every Joe who's written a book. You don't listen to everybody who has an opinion. And if you find people that are constantly patting you on the back and say, sure, sis, follow your heart, you need to find some other advisors. Like I said, the heart is a deceptive thing. Here's the good news. The good news written by the prophet Isaiah centuries and centuries ago says this: for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, then forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We know that that speaks of Jesus. We know that that speaks of the one representative of humankind who was able to offer himself as a perfect, sinless sacrifice to pay for every mistake that we've ever made and every mistake that we will ever make, to pay for our rotten sin nature that we inherited from Adam after he rejected the ways of God and followed his own heart. You see, the answer is there, and the answer is not in a system. The answer is not in a self-help book. The answer is in the name of Jesus, who has the power, as we just sang, to break every chain. To break every chain. To break every chain. I don't know how to end this other than to say this. Know who you're listening to. Know whose report you can believe. Be careful about taking just any and every advice. Yes, we need a multitude of counselors, but we need a multitude of godly counselors. And that is where the strength of the work of Christ makes itself manifest in your life. It's when we can all come together and work together with our individual knowledge of God. You know, I don't know every phase and aspect of God, and neither do you. But collectively, we pretty much got the whole book, because we've all walked different paths. We've all got different scars. We've all met God at a point of need that's different than somebody else's point of need. So there are some here that know Him as deliverer. There are some here that know Him as healer. There are some here that know Him as that one who carries you when you only see one set of footprints in the sand. And there are those who knows that He stands there and waits for you to run back to Him when you run away from Him. We've all walked different paths. We've all got a different history with God. So we all know God differently. Just as He knows each one of us personally, our personal knowledge of God is just as unique. But when we pool it all together, man, what a picture we can paint. What a picture we can paint of God. Amen? Stand with me if you would. Church, whose report will you believe? The old song we used to sing says, "We shall believe the report of the Lord." And it goes on to say, His report says, "I'm healed." His report says, "I'm filled." Well, God desires to fill each one of us today. I don't know what closing music Brother Shane has for us this morning, but we're going to find out here in a minute. I need God. I need God. you need God. All of our needs are unique, but all of our experiences of God meeting our needs as though they are unique, they are also common. Because there is one source that can and will meet your needs, and that is God. And He is accessed through the perfect work of Jesus Christ. And when we surrender and yield to that work and place ourselves under Him, then the power of God can flow into your life and accomplish your need.